broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile up city level at Intergalactic Curry Studios. We warn you of local stories by warning you can have to keep your attention for radio waves. Warms your brain to a AC and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sinful estatism out of your head. Can you feel it, Jeremy? Can you feel it, Chandler St. Pierre?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
Yeah, that was way too turbocharged for my 1 a.m. brain.
That actually sounded slow for Jim.
I was on the slow side on that one, but I'm still working on this coffee. But anyways, this show is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state governments. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. So. Speaking of BIPCOT, I had my next little BIPCOTed thing done. Was it yesterday night? Yeah, because I've been up too much and it kind of threw off my time perception. But we had a quasi-liberty event happen Vegas. Yeah, it's going to be a monthly thing. But we kind of did a Monday night kind of get together to see what days would be best to plan for kind of like it's almost like Liberty on the Rocks, but I can't get a hold of them and I can't apply for it for a membership. So I was like, I'll just do my own thing. So we're doing our own thing.
So what is the name of yours?
Okay, so the website that I'm doing it, so it allows anyone to post their stuff on there, including Liberty on the Rock stuff, so people can find events in their area, is called Liberty in the Pub. And you can learn more about that at libertythepub.com, but we're still working on the website and getting, or it's actually just a wiki, so we're still working on the stuff. And I'm trying to decentralize it even more, because every time I look at it, I'm like, oh, I can give people more freedom on this. So I'm trying to scale back my influence on the thing. But our particular event is called the Hans Hermann Hoppe, not Hoppe, Hoppe Sobrietal Removal Hour. and so that's going to happen every third Friday at a pub called Aces and Nails on Tenaya. So we had our thing, and we thought it was just, I was just going to be me and a guy named Brandon who just moved into the area. But then we had another person show up as well. And so we worked out everything, and it was a lot of fun, even with three people. And no real good notice on Meetup. I think they make you wait 3 days for your first event or something before they announce it. So that people had 2 days to do it. We had one person that was like, I wish I could have known about this in advance, but we'll see.
It
went pretty good. So if you don't have like one of these Liberty in the Rocks or something in your area, you should, you know, make one yourself. Meetup, you could use Meetup and Facebook events, and it's a whole lot of fun. And being the only libertarian that I knew in real life was annoying. So it's kind of nice to actually meet people in the meat space and actually not have them sit there and, you know, stump for Bernie or Trump or Cruz. It's nice every once in a while. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know that feeling. It's funny. I was actually just talking about this the other night on the Seeds of Liberty podcast. We had Alma Summer on from the Jackalope Freedom Festival, and we got into a discussion about people just doing, and I actually mentioned your plan for this, and I forgot the name of it, but just the fact that, you know, starting with even two or three people is, you know, it may not seem like much, but, you know, I mean, I said it half joking, but yeah, you got to start somewhere. And especially, you know, I'm the same way out here. I feel like I'm all alone. My one Liberty friend introduced me to everything and then moved to New Hampshire. And the other one and I just crossed paths. We met a month after he moved out of my area online. And, so I know there's other ones out here. I just never get a chance to. But I need to start something like this out here on Long Island, because we have nothing else here.
Long Island.
I think it's... I kind of like that idea, too, because I've found... I do... get-togethers with friends, like we'll just cook food and, you know, have a few beers and shoot the breeze and stuff. And I found the more and more I talk to people that most people are almost inherently liberal. Like, I mean, inherently libertarian, the people that I hang around with. I never realized it before, but, and they may not, like, get all the stuff that we talk about, but down to their core, they're like, yeah, I just want to be left alone. I think that's the big part of what people are feeling these days. And, you know, starting groups like this would be really good to get out of the cyberspace, you know, Facebook, Twitter sphere, talking on that, and actually
the echo chamber. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice to have a real life echo chamber too, though. But
and it's fun.
Yeah. Because, you know, the echo chamber doesn't really exist unless you kind of organize it yourself. A lot of people are just kind of like the only libertarians they know. And, you know, it's nice to meet up like that. And, I mean, there was an event in New York that used to happen quite a lot. New York City. I don't know if this is close to you at all. Or at least reasonable that you could go there. And
yeah, the city on a good day is an hour plus hike for me, so.
Yeah, okay, so. But I guess they used to do it. They don't do it anymore. And it was called the Hoppe High Time Preference Hour. And
yeah, I remember hearing about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, yeah, they had the same thing. And, you know, that's how one of the co-hosts on the Lawnburst was actually getting to know some actual libertarian friends. And now his whole circle of friends are libertarian as well. So, nice. You know, it's kind of nice. But, you know, it's nice to have status friends, too. But, you know.
Sure. Well, sometimes.
Yeah, as long as you don't talk about.
Right.
No, much.
Well, I
so
mean,
it's kind of nice to end up having
sometimes.
A conversation with someone about these things and not have to be like, ugh, Bernie, really? Yeah. So, yeah.
He's pretty popular up here in New England. Not that I'm...
Oh, I imagine.
I'm not surprised in the least, but... Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so, it's so, all yeah, organize something. Me. Get to know people. And speaking of the jackalope thing, I'm definitely going to go.
Oh, cool.
It's even going to be on the days that I'm off of work, too. So I'm going to go check that
sweet.
Out. Yeah, and possibly going to have, if this starts taking off, have the other people interested in my Liberty Pub thing to check it out as well. So,
yeah, well,
meet up inside of a meetup. Yeah.
I didn't actually know that much about Jackalope until I got to talk to Alma the other night, but it actually sounds perfect for just that, because she was encouraging us because we had Lou on that night too, and he had made a joke about the if you get the adjoining toilets, maybe the Freedom Fiends would come down, and she immediately was just like, oh, you guys could come down and just start your own little thing if you wanted to too, because they do it. I didn't realize they do that in a national park. Yeah. Or what is technically somehow private land in the middle of a national park, which is kind of weird. But you know, they have a lot of space and it sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm really mad that I can't go.
Where is that being held?
It's Arizona, northwest Arizona, I believe. I'm not positive. I know it's North Arizona, but that's the first warm. Week of August.
Yeah, I'm not really familiar with where it's going to be at, but they said it's like a 3-hour drive for me, because I had first heard about it because of one of the ANCAPs, the ANCAP that moved here was telling me about it, and I was like, that sounds really interesting. And then it turns out that like they've done it like what for like 5 years.
This will be their fifth year.
Yeah, but it's like their second year as Jackalope. They were calling it Pork West, and Pork Fest got
very mad. Yeah.
She mentioned
that. They did not
take
kindly.
Yeah, I'm like,
I'm
definitely going to go to this now.
Well, I was talking with Derek Slopey and his wife Donna about the Pork Fest thing, because they asked me if I was going this year. And I was like, yeah, I'll probably go this year, you know, despite all the hassle that it's been, but I think this is the last year. I think next year a bunch of us, it's been discussed, and just do that, you know, find a good camp spot and go and have fun, because the Pork Fest thing, I don't know. Neither of you guys have been, have you?
Well this is gonna be my first year and most likely my last too, but yeah. No, I haven't actually been there yet.
Yeah, see, because when I go, like, yeah, I'll try to attend a few of the speeches and workshops, but mostly I just hang out and, you know, drink and have a fire and shoot the breeze with people that pass by the campsite. I mean, it's like a vacation for me, so I don't need that whole organized, you know, let's become a free state and all that stuff. More power to them. I'm not criticizing them, but it's just really not my thing, so... Figured, well, why don't we start our own?
I'm with you, man. Yeah. That's more. That's
or
more
find
my
the one
too.
That's in your area, because apparently I have one. We were thinking about making one, and then I was like, oh, it's only 3 hours away. No, forget it, because I was only going to make one that was 1 hour away. What's the point?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, especially yeah. when you have one that's been established for a couple of years now.
Yeah, and it already has a following, and you know. Why try to rebuild?
And it is and it is now BIPCOTted, thanks to my conversation with her the other day.
Yes.
So, that's exciting.
Yeah, so I'm going to go down there with my flag and fly it proudly. on something. I'll figure out something.
Well, apparently, LRN is broadcasting from Hempfest, I guess, this year in New Hampshire, which is, not sure if it's before or after, but Ian and Mark are going to be there.
But I'm not positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought about going to that. I mean, I'm not really into the whole Hempfest culture, but hey, you never know who you might meet and help spread the seeds of liberty.
Yeah.
And if LRN's going to be broadcasting from there, why not?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to broadcast, but at least not my podcast. I won't be able to do it, but I could record something there, provided if there's power, which that's going to be the the defining line whether or not I can do it or not. But whatever.
Yeah, I think the second year I went to Pork Fest, we recorded a 1 a.m. Sort of Freedom Fiend, sort of not podcast, and we ended up getting hassled by the fellow patrons to quiet down. There was like 13 of us around my table by Camp Lake. One laptop, two microphones. Lou brought his, and I brought mine, and it was pretty fun while it lasted. I think we did like 45 minutes, and then we kind of got shut down.
Nah. Oh, well. But I definitely want to check out this Jackalope thing, especially if it's going to be something like Pork, I guess, but even less electricity and showers. So
awesome.
Yeah. It's really out in the middle of the woods. You basically, the way it was put to me is you show up and you get a map that shows you where to find people, you know, and that's what you do.
and how long is it?
It's for a week this year because it had been like a three-day event, I think, for the past few years, and they decided to up it because they were having so much fun. So this year it's August 1st through 8th.
I could probably last 3 days with no electricity and no shower, but after that I think I'd be itching to go home.
Yeah. Well, they have electricity in the free market, which is where we're going right now.
Worms.
Listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey there, this is Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakitalist. I've been rising to power in the Liberty Movement since I was 14 years old, when I first found the Freedom Fiends on my TuneIn app. I quickly became a fan, and a little over a year later, I called into Michael Dean After Dark on my crappy home phone. Michael quickly realized my brilliance, but was disappointed by my audio quality. So he picked me up as a mentee, gave me a microphone, helped me start my own podcast, and threw me on the radio show. Now I'm 17, I'm assembling a yak army, building a cult following of yakateers, and we're planning our march to Fiendfest Somalia to take over the geographic region between the Connecticut River and the Salmon Falls River to make it a libertarian paradise free of faceless boards of authority. Free Freedom Fiends buttons will be given to anybody who swears allegiance to the dear sweet yak emperor and aids our cause. This wouldn't be possible without the help of Nima Vedati and especially Michael Dean. The Freedom Fiends have made me as dear and sweet as I am today. Worms.
In so far as Freedom Fiends, so to speak.
So, everyone's favorite three-letter agency, the TSA, is back in the news, or kind of, sort of. Apparently, there was a proposal to screen passengers once they depart the plane.
Why?
Well,
this doesn't make any sense.
The thinking, and well, this is government we're talking about, so of course it doesn't make any sense.
Allegedly thinking.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, their alleged thinking was that they're going to shift their resources, right? So they're not going to have TSA at smaller airports, and they're just going to let people board. You know, if somebody leaves at the airport in my hometown in Augusta, which has like three seats in it, you know, and they take a little flight to Boston, whatever, they wouldn't screen them up here, but they'd screen them when they get to Boston to prevent them from, you know, taking weapons into the bigger airport or a transferring flight. And yeah, apparently that got quashed because even Congress, as inept as they are, just said from a security standpoint, it's ridiculous. So yeah, that's your tax dollars hard at work there.
Well, I mean, I love the quote. Like there's one point it says they offered very, you know, the TSA didn't really offer any details. they basically just clammed up once Congress found out about it and started saying, "What in the heck are you doing?" But the one quote at the beginning, it says, "The latest effort to make air travel more efficient." That's the only information they really offered. Oh, we're just trying to make it more efficient, right. Which actually, in theory, is not a bad thing, but this doesn't make sense on any level. Like, how is this? You know, if your job is supposed to be protecting people, which obviously we all know if it's supposed to be, like I say, right. Okay, air quotes, supposed to be. If it's supposed to be, you know, how in any way does this prevent, you know, anything happening? Because that's just an open invitation to say, okay, well, I'll carry stuff into the airport from there.
Well.
Unless the thinking's that you... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I know somebody who works for the TSA begrudgingly and says that the people that are employed in that agency are just about the dumbest people you will ever meet in your life. And he's like, imagine. I'm not saying that because I'm a disgruntled worker. He said, the people I work with are really, really stupid. He says, I believe it now when I hear that they hire them off pizza boxes. And I kind of wonder if crap runs downhill, you know, because if the people down at the bottom are that stupid, maybe the people at the top making the decisions are even more unintelligent.
Especially when you find out things that, like, they're great at busting everybody for drugs. Like, they have no problem busting people for drugs. If you try to walk in with drugs, they're probably going to nail you. If you walk in with a bomb or a knife or something that could potentially have hazard of, you know, taking down the plane or crashing into a building, oh, yeah, they'll just let it slide. Yeah, whatever. But, you know, if you try to take in a fake katana or a bottle of water, they're not going to have any of that. Not going to have any of that. So... yeah, it's mostly just theater. Theater and drug enforcement.
Of course.
Yeah, I can't
imagine. It's a jobs program is what it is. You know, you get those...
It's shovel ready, yeah.
Yeah, those unintelligent people that can't survive in the free market, and you give them a government job to harass people. They love that stuff.
Yeah. But, you know, there's always ways to mess with them, and I always encourage people to do it. Like... I know there's a few people that sell them, and Penn and Teller sells these too, but they're little pieces of metal. They're and it's, you know, it's the size of a business card or a playing card, and it has the Bill of Rights printed on it, both sides. Nice. And so the point is when you're walking through the metal detectors at the TSA, it sets the metal detectors off, and then they go like, oh, do you have anything metal on you? And you go, oh, yeah, it's my rights. You can go ahead and take them.
yeah. That's great.
Yeah, and they're about $5. You can find them. So I think Amazon may have them, but yeah. They're amazing. I haven't flown since I've found out about those. I prefer to try to... I love doing road trips, so... And it's just mostly because I hate having to deal with the TSA and the waiting lines and all that stuff, and it's just like, you know, it's less of a hassle for me to sit in a car for a couple of days and get to where I'm going, so, yeah. Yeah,
when my sister gets married, I'm probably going to have to go to Florida, and I'm dreading it, because I'm not big on, like, short road trips are fine, but, you know, 3 days is kind of be tough, but I am not flying. There's just no way I'm going to go through all that.
Yeah. But I'm going to end up having to go to Russia, probably this year, we'll see. I have no idea yet, but when that happens, you know, I'm definitely...
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Fiends. Frankly, this is allegedly, from what I'm told, it's the best. What is it? Anarcho-capitalist show. Frankly, yes. It's not my thing, but you know, I think they don't even like 7-Eleven. I think they were even talking about how terrible it was, and you know, they.
Just, I can understand why nobody from Black Lives Matter wants to work with these people.
Yeah. Now, here's the question. Are the conservatives saying, yeah, we need to defend ourselves against that tyrannical government? Or are they saying, no, you all need to obey the police and do as you're told because the law is the law?
Embarrassing tweets by famous people, and it's called like...
You're listening to Freedom Fiends.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
You guys are okay? You guys survived the drone?
Yeah, I heard Trump for a minute, and then everything went black.
Yeah, so from what I heard from the head honcho, I got this from the Telegram. I got the document right here. He was on after the Christmas special. He was banned from the show for singing that terrible, horrible song, and because he was on, Michael Dean had sent libertarian drones. But you know, I guess it was a It was a tactical strike, so we survived, but with some minor injuries. But we're okay. You know, I can walk it off. You know, just missing leg. I can walk it off.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
So, anyways, about 7-Eleven, like actual 7-Eleven. What were we going to say about that?
Well, the free market prevails, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, because they were except when you get droned by the free market.
Really good.
Yeah. Apparently, in Japan, there's been some really bad earthquakes, and you know, where the government fails on relief efforts, 7-Eleven picks up supplying, you know, free water and Wi-Fi and other necessities to help people make it through this trying time. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was really cool. And I guess it's not just 7-Eleven. It's all the marts, you know, that parent company owns all throughout Japan.
Yeah, I think this article highlighted 7-Eleven because it's the only one that we would recognize in the United States. But all the other ones, it's like they're exclusive to Japan, at least from what I understand. I've never seen these, so I'm guessing they're only in Eastern Asian states. So, yeah. So that's kind of neat. And, you know, I think it's kind of interesting that Wi-Fi has become an essential need now. Back in Katrina, like, if there was a company setting up Wi-Fi, you know, the left would be angry. Like, why are you wasting everyone's time by trying to get Wi-Fi to people? Like, you should be getting food and water. Like, and now people, I've actually heard the left say that, you know, that Wi-Fi should be a right. And internet access should be a right. So it's kind of funny how as luxuries progress, necessities for the left. Yeah.
Craziness. Yeah. I don't know. It's nice to have internet, but I could live without it. I don't think it's a right.
Well, of course not. They do, but it's...
But they crazy.
It's, well, of course, but it's convenience because, you know, you do get used to it. And especially, I mean, the one thing about this story, I mean, I didn't even know 7-Eleven was in Japan, much less that they had almost 20,000 stores there.
Yeah. But, I haven't seen a 7-Eleven in years.
Oh, well, see, I live on Long Island. I have them all around me. I worked in one for years.
Yeah.
I don't think most people would know what to do without the ability to access the internet for more than like a couple of days. Like Katrina wasn't that long ago, but it's an entire generation for a lot of people.
Yeah,
they're all used to having sitting out at Starbucks or wherever else, and you constantly have Wi-Fi. I mean, heck, I spent a lot of my day driving around, and I because of the cable company I have, they have Wi-Fi hotspots all over Long Island, and like as I'm driving just through different towns, I see my Wi-Fi kick in for a while, and you know, down the road, just everywhere. It's everywhere, so it would be kind of a culture shock, I guess, for a lot of people not to have it.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if there's any legitimacy to that whole electromagnetic poisoning, you know, where there's so much cell signals and Wi-Fi all around the world that it's making people ill, I guess. I've started to read about that, and it's an interesting topic. I don't know if I buy it or not, but
I'm sure there's maybe one or two people that may have some weird sensitivity. I mean, there's people who are allergic to air.
Yeah.
They have to, like, super filter their air.
That would suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems like most of it, a hypochondriac type thing. You know, they think they're sick, so they're sick.
It's the Wi-Fi. The
yeah.
They're doing it to me.
And like everybody who all of a sudden had gluten sensitivity once like a newspaper article came out about it. I was like, oh, well, I have that. You know, and it's just more about hipsterism, I guess. Like, oh, I don't use the internet because I get sick. Like,
yeah. Well, it is interesting, though. I don't know if this is attributed to it, but, you know, I know when I camp out in the woods for a week, I feel a lot different when I come back.
Yeah. Might be the fresh air, though.
Yeah.
All that smog is gone.
Yep. Well, we shall return for hour number two of the Freedom Fiends.
Assuming we don't get droned again.
Oh, let's hope.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Meow, 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 meow.
Freedom.
Meow. Meow, meow, meow.
Meow. All right, so I think I like this. Oh, sorry.
Broadcasting to the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon. I had top financial abuse plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows for use by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Meow, meow.
So I think back. I like this everything is terrible site already.
Everything is terrible is awesome. Everything on everything is terrible is great.
I just clicked on one called Memory Hole Clarice Obese and
oh,
it's just wow.
Wow. So we should probably explain what it is.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to look at this yet.
Okay, so Everything Is Terrible is one of those weird websites where they go through and they find stuff from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. There was a couple things they did that was like recent, but they find like really cringy stuff and they remix it to make it even more cringier or even more weird, and they repost it, and it's kind of a weird feeling when you get it because it's kind of a mix of like comedy and nostalgia at the same time, and it's really weird. And now I guess Memory Hole, that's one you were talking about with the obese Clarice. They're kind of the same thing, but they find really like creepy stuff. they're kind of more on the creepy side rather than humor. I think it's from the same people, but definitely get up for the creep vibe is not. But Everything Is Terrible. Everything on Everything Is Terrible is great. Yeah, I couldn't endorse it more. If there's two things that you should subscribe to on YouTube. All right, no, I'd make it three. It'd definitely be Length Unithar's channel. Everything Is Terrible and Red Letter Media. That's some of the best stuff you can get, for sure. No doubt about it. Yeah.
So yeah, what was the podcaster guy that you were telling me about?
Oh, the Red Letter Media? Was that what we were talking about?
No, the guy that reads and is really smart.
Oh, yeah. There's a YouTube channel called Length Unithar. Good luck spelling it. I could not spell it for you. But I think I linked it to you, so I'll probably have him put it in the show notes. But yeah, he's a YouTuber, really smart guy, really well read. He's a vlogger style. So, but he'll make like 30-minute to hour long videos about gun rights, economics, just libertarianism. He even dives into like the history of China. all the different kind of dynasties, that Ming dynasty and stuff too, and you're just like, wow, this guy knows his stuff. And it's very few libertarian channels that actually feeling like I've actually learned something. Most libertarian stuff, it's either the humor or the perspective that makes you, and that's all great, but this guy actually kind of gives you an education. Tom Woods does the same thing too, but yeah, I much prefer Length Unithar, even though he probably only got like a couple thousand subscribers or something. But yeah,
yeah, I'm trying to find his channel, and I can't.
You can't spell.
Yeah, I sent you a link in the email, but yeah, we'll have to put that in the show notes because it's a weird way of spelling it. It's like Length Unarthur. But yeah.
I'll have to check that out. That does sound interesting because you're right. Yeah. Unfortunately, most of the shows do tend to go over the same stuff. I know because I do one of them. The same stuff, you know.
But there's a need for that. I'm not bashing it at all. I'm just saying.
I just was, so it's fine.
Yeah. And I, the later example is more kind of like what I do. I'm more on the humor side, so I'm not really giving anyone a hardcore education myself, so I'm not bashing that. I'm just saying. That's the one that I really walk away feeling like, okay, I've learned something today. Every once in a while, he'll do a video that's just kind of for like everybody that doesn't understand these things, but for the most part, I walk away learning something. So
for the most part, that's what I like to get out of. I try to get out of podcasts. That's why the majority of the ones that I listen to are all history ones.
Yeah,
that's like Prof CJ's, Dan Carlin's, and now Daniele Bellelli does one. If you can put up with the heavy Italian accent, it's excellent. I like listening to the talk because I heard him do a couple of interviews on Joe Rogan years ago, and then he was on my friend Danilo's show a few months back, and I like listening to his voice, and his he gets some really in-depth stuff, just obscure things too that most people, even people that are relatively learned in history, may not have come across. Or even just a different perspective. So yeah, when you can learn stuff, it's great. So much more interesting than just, I mean, funny's good. Humor's great. Yeah. But, it's nice to learn.
Yeah, the stuff that I actually had tuned out of every libertarian media except for like some YouTube channels, Length Unithar being one of them. But it's all kind of the same thing. Like, it's just usually just let's talk about the nap in every way, shape possible. And I've heard it all before, and it's it just gets boring after a while. It was a lot of economic stuff. I'm just for that, really. But then the Freedom Fiends found me. I didn't find the Freedom Fiends. Michael Dean found me on YouTube and then they introduced me to this. And I was like, this is interesting because it's not just napping my ear off, you know, but like the other shows were. And then from there, I started finding some other stuff. So, yeah, there's that. You know, Tom Woods, a lot of his stuff's kind of basic, too, but he does kind of do some really educational stuff, too. It's kind of a mixed bag, which is good, which is needed.
Yeah, I like now finding the basic stuff that's short so I can send to people who aren't really up on all this and kind of hold their attention.
Well, people like Tom Woods are actually good for that, too. his are only 25, 30 minutes.
When you talk about the average American, their attention span's like 5 minutes.
This is true.
You have to give them stuff like Julie Borowski videos or Learn Liberty video.
There are short little clips, but I just thought, because most people I tried to send them to didn't even want to pay attention to that. they see a word that they don't agree with, or one sentence is uttered, like, oh, this is going to be garbage, and they want to move on. Which is sad.
See, I like listening to podcasts, like when I'm driving or when I'm out in the yard working, or even if I'm just doing dishes, I'll put that stuff on and just leave it in the background and listen to it. I think it's great, and I can take it in, but a lot of people just don't have the patience for it, I guess.
I think, like, something, if you're going to give someone something like Learn Liberty or Julie Borowski video or something that's, you know, about 3 or 4 minutes long, explains everything in detail and is and kind of fun, too. They're kind of good at that. But sending them a whole entire podcast, I can see where you can send it to someone. It's like, 2 hours? Do I really have to listen to this whole thing? And especially if you're getting something like Molyneux, where he's, he keeps going off on weird tangents all the time. It's really hard to follow. There was one that I was trying to listen to him from. So we were talking about the labor theory of value, because I kind of wanted some counter arguments for it. And like 10 minutes in, I was like, he hasn't said anything about this yet. He just keeps going on these weird tangents. So, I try to stay away from that. But since then, I found some other ones, but Freedom Fiends, I definitely kind of like that whole kind of like, let's just have a conversation and talk about it. Everything kind of is from a libertarian perspective, which is nice. There's another show that's kind of like that, but it's not as humorous, which would be like Governments, Zombies, Governments, and You, or something like that. It's more, if you type those three keywords in, you're going to find it. It's a BIPCOT show, too. But it's kind of just a conversation between two people, and that's kind of interesting. The Little Alberts is kind of like that too, but I don't listen to my own shows, so I don't even listen to my own Freedom Fiends.
I don't either, actually. Yeah. Until I listened to last night's, only because a bunch of people said something to me about it. I'm like, well, now I have to listen because I didn't know what they were talking about. But I don't either.
I used to listen to them when I was on just to make sure, like, critique my performance, that sort of thing. But I don't anymore. I'm just like,
I said that to Michael today, and he in an email, and he said that was the same thing. He's like, well, it's, you know, or on Facebook, I think, you know, it's a good idea to do that. And I understand that it does make sense to try to critique yourself, but for me, I do the editing for the other podcast I do, so I already listen to my voice on that episode at least 3 or 4 times a week, and it drives me insane, so I just can't bring myself to do it. Although I did realize the other day that most of the podcasts I listen to these days, outside of the history ones, which is where I'm getting the bulk of my information, and Tom Woods, because I've always been a big fan of it. He was kind of like, I guess, if anybody was like my red pill, it was him. Are all my friend shows. Everybody here at the Fiends, like, I listen to Lulberts, I listen to the Anarcho Yakalitas podcast, my friend Danilo show, you know, like all the stuff, all the people I already work with, like, that's what I listen to because I enjoy listening to them, and I listen to their perspectives, which puts me in a horrible echo chamber a lot of the time, but whatever.
I try putting on like NPR every once in a while just to get that different horrible kill me perspective, and I can't do it for more than 10 minutes. I'm just like,
it's awful. Today we're going to be talking to one of the people who is running one of the sustainable farms out here in Cleveland, and we wanted to have a few things to say about him. What kind of green energy are you using on your farm today?
I can't stand NPR.
Although I did find a really cool documentary. I was halfway into it, and I watched like half of it, and it was pretty interesting. It was on RT Documentary. I guess that's a channel or whatever. And but it was about North Korea.
The best, it's best Korea, sir. I'll have you say best Korea.
Oh yes, sorry, best Korea. But yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I think we all have this vision of, you know, tyranny and squalor and just utter hopelessness when you think of North Korea, and yeah. Sure, they showed that, but they showed, like, I didn't realize they had technology and, you know, modern amenities. Oh, yeah? Like telephones and, you know, buildings and, oh, yeah, it was interesting. Yeah.
I knew they had all that stuff. I was under the impression, like, even the technology they had is just heavily censored.
And totally.
You know, even telephones, like, if they have mobile phones at this point, I'm sure there's like chips in every one of them.
Well, it was interesting because they did an interview with like one of the head tech guys.
Oh yeah.
And he was in charge of the North Korean intranet, you know, and he was intranet. Saying how it was such a great responsibility for him to oversee the flow of information and, you know, how he had to answer to his superiors. And, oh, it was just creepy. But it was an interesting perspective. You know, one I don't think we can relate to in this country yet.
Yes.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean. Available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
I think I fixed my internets. We'll try this again.
Yay, it looks good.
I'm just going to be like a second behind you guys, so I'll be all right. So yeah, podcasts. We need more podcasts. Do more podcasts. Do more podcasts.
Yeah.
I would like. Not napping my ear off, but, you know, be funny or be educational. I'm sure you can do that. Or have a conversation. I don't have to learn anything from it. Or laugh.
Yeah, I mean, when I used to do my podcast with my friend CJ, that's how we were. At first, we started off all serious and, you know, we're going to change the world and blah, blah, blah. And it devolved into us just having two-hour conversations. And, you know, he's the funny one, so he would make all the jokes and I would kind of inject some helpful hints in there now and then, but it was great. You know, it was just a 2-hour conversation, and I don't know why, but people actually listened. And, yeah, I mean, that's the way to go.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's how. I mean, that's the same thing with my. You know, with the show that I do. It's we started the same way. We were all serious about it, and now we just do interviews a lot for the most part, or we try to have people on that don't. Get a lot of usually we try to get people that don't have a lot of exposure. I mean, we've had some big name, you know, some bigger name guests and stuff, but for the most part we try to get, you know, even friends of ours that are just doing different projects and stuff, just to try to get, you know, different ideas out there. And it's fun for us because we just hang out and, you know, just, you know, pick on each other and then talk about some serious stuff too for like an hour and a half sometimes. And it's fun to get that.
Yeah, it's fun to get that opposing view too, because we were on a channel that was mostly minarchists and, you know, make the Constitution great again, and you know, they didn't like Muslims and all that stuff, and so we were like the black sheep, and we used to have them on. I mean, we had a guy on one. We did one show on the Civil War, and I have a very animated opinion about Lincoln and the Civil War and all the lies that were perpetrated. And this guy just loved Lincoln, thought he was the greatest president in the world. And we had a 2-hour show, which devolved into me screaming and yelling at him. And it was an interesting listen. If you could get past the bad audio, it was pretty funny.
But at first, you'd have to prove that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Seeds of Liberty is definitely a lot better. than it was. I mean, not saying it was bad, but
we were atrocious when we started. Our audio, I mean, our audio was even worse too. But our content wasn't exactly stellar.
I think that's how everyone starts, though. You know, you evolve and you learn. You see what works, and
I was brand new to the whole thing. I mean, at least you know my buddy Danilo had been doing his own show for about and doing interviews and stuff and actually getting out there for about a year. And Dave had also done different podcasts. He actually had a Magic the Gathering podcast, which I thought he was joking when he first told me that. Then I went and looked it up, and this thing was huge worldwide. Like, people were, like, obsessed with this show. And he ran that for a while. So I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't expect anything of it. So I when they asked me, I was like, okay, why not?
Yeah, that's kind of how we started out, too. Like, we were on Blog Talk Radio, and I remember the first time I started listening to Freedom Fiends shortly after I started this the podcast I was talking about, and I contacted Michael and Neiman. I was like, you guys got to come on our show and have a discussion with us, and Michael begrudgingly agreed, and after he was just like, dude, that was the most horrible experience I've ever had, because there was like 5 or 6 people on, and it was Blog Talk, and oh man, it was just a nightmare. It was a good show to listen to. I mean, I go back now and listen to it and kind of laugh, but he's like, you got to do something about your audio, you know?
Oh, well.
He did the same thing to me. He was like, oh, I love your show, but...
And this was back in, like,
that mic.
2009, you know? I mean, this was, like, old school to think about it now, you know, how far we've come. Yeah. I mean, we were on, like, cell phones and headphone mics and stuff. Yeah. It was rough.
Yeah, good audio is so important. That having bad audio is the difference between someone saying, like, I agree with you, but I'm not listening to you, and I agree with you, and I'm going to listen to everything that you do. Or even I don't agree with you, but I'm going to listen to everything that you do.
Well, you know what kills me is, like, there's a couple of podcasts I've been listening to lately, people that we know that are on LRN and that sort of thing, and they'll do interviews, and both the people have Fiend Phone, and they don't use it. They use Skype or a cell phone, and it's just like, I'm listening to in my car, and I have to jack up the volume, and you can hear the interviewee, and you can't hear the interviewer, or vice versa, and it's just like, why? Why wouldn't you use this great piece of software that gives you good audio?
I know that
on a phone.
Yeah, Tom Woods has that same problem where he'll bring on Lou Rockwell on the cell phone, and he knows how to use. They both know how to use Skype. Yeah. At least Skype. Fiend Phone, optimal, but at least Skype, please. And no Blog Talk Radio.
Ever.
Is that a thing anymore?
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yeah, we're too busy talking to do talk radio.
Go away. Go away, audience. No, don't go away.
No, please don't.
Them's the jokes. Yeah. So, during the break... So
you sent a link, so you want to go ahead and talk about it? Because I have not seen this.
Yeah, nobody can find it, but whatever.
I got it. No, actually, I managed to find it.
Oh, cool.
The anti-media actually posted
the
exact article from Anon HQ.
There we go. So, yeah, I came across an article today of... And the headline is Costco is financing organic farmers to meet the high consumer demand. Once again, the market prevails. And it seems like Costco is doing a lot of things right these days. You know, I mean, if you look at how they treat their employees compared to other big, you know, chain stores like Walmart and stuff, they treat them well. And, you know, if you want to go, as the article says, if you want to go organic, go to Costco's. It seems that they can't get enough of the organic fruits and vegetables to supply its customers. So now it's bypassing its competitor Whole Foods with a whopping $4 billion in organic sales. That's a lot.
That is.
Whole Foods is overpriced even for organic.
Well, they well, are,
and,
but...
Yeah. And isn't a lot of the stuff that's at Whole Foods not even organic?
No, I don't think so. I think they're pretty much all organic.
Maybe half, if they're lucky.
Yeah.
But they are. They have been pretty much one of the only games in town, you know, as far as like the huge superstores for that. So to take the business away from them like that, that's pretty insane.
Well, I guess this works really well in the cities, you know, because if, you know, Costco is financing these organic farmers and bringing this produce and this food in, that's really good. I mean, when I think of organic, like I go down, I think it's every Wednesday in my town, and I think it's every Thursday in the neighboring town, we have the farmers markets, you know, that they go in the local city space and they set up and, you know, people just do their thing. I don't know if you need to get a permit or all that, or if they just do it randomly. I've never looked into it. I've gone down there and bought a few things, but I should go down there and talk to some of the people and see what it takes to set up a space. But I know the town's encouraged it, and I mean, it's great. You can get fresh food right there. I mean, you go to like the supermarkets, and if you can find organic food, it's not always that fresh because it's been brought in from different places. That's one of the biggest problems with so-called fresh foods, you know, fruits, vegetables, that sort of thing. They don't keep long when you get it home because they've been, you know, between transit through, you know, interstate and how long they've been sitting on the shelves, you know, half their shelf life is gone by the time you buy it. So that's what I really like about you know, the farmers markets and the things that Costco are doing. It's like, all right, we'll bring it in today and boom, you know, it's fresh, really fresh.
Yeah, well, that's the way to go, obviously. I mean, it's funny you said that, you know, that your town encourages it and, you know, you're not sure. Here on Long Island, they encourage it because we have farmers markets too, but they encourage it because they make you get permits and it's a revenue generation for them.
But I'm sure that's probably, yeah.
But they still do occur, and I've got to meet some pretty cool people at the couple that I've stopped by. And, you know, it's not always necessarily even organic, but at least it's, you know, people are at least trying to get different stuff out there. And they actually, there's some people have branched off and done more than food. Like they've made like one of them's like been like a food and craft one now. And it's like, they're trying to bring these things in, which is great. But again, a lot of people that I know have thought about it. And then when they think about having to deal with the permits and all that stuff, that actually pushes them away, which is unfortunate.
Well, that's why you just got to do it. You know, you go to a friend's backyard and you post it on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, or the, you know, local, I don't know, and you just do it. I met up with a couple. I don't remember if it was at the gun show or the farmer's market. I can't remember which, but they do both. Like, they make their own ammunition, really good ammunition, too. It's, you're going to pay a little bit more for it, but it's really worth it. Oh, okay. And they also have
non-GMO.
It's non-GMO. ammunition. It's awesome. And they have non-GMO food too, you know. They so, I mean, the husband mainly focuses on the ammunition, the wife helps, and then the wife mainly focuses on the agriculture side, and the husband helps, but it works really well, and they've got some good products, you know. So grass-fed,
I like going to farmers market. I don't really care about the GMO or the organic stuff. I just care about fresh stuff, and I love going to the farmers market because there's always good fresh stuff. Yeah.
Well, and I think I'm with you on that. I mean, I try to avoid the GMO stuff whenever possible, but to me, it's more about freshness and how long I can keep it on. You know,
no way. I want my potato to have an extra arm. That's some good potato meat right there.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I just want fresh stuff, and if they're open, I can find it. That's great. But you know, I usually sleep when these things are going on because I'm a night owl. So, you know, I just end up going to like Smith's or Walmart or something, you know. But
oh man, I went to Walmart the other day to try to get a few groceries, and it damn near killed me.
Oh, they're terrible.
Oh yeah, they opened a big one here because I mean they've had the huge Walmarts here forever, but they opened one of those Walmart, you know, markets, and they actually, you know, the claim it was going to knock out all the local supermarkets, and it actually did take, I think, a couple of them down. But I went in there once, and they have this giant selection of garbage.
Yeah.
The produce section is terrible.
Yeah, it was like everything looked waxy. Everything. All the fruit. It really was. It just was not very. Nothing looked appealing. Nothing looked fresh.
Well,
it looked like it was painted.
It's interesting because we had in my hometown in Augusta, we had Hannaford is the big chain up here, and they opened a completely green store. And at first, I would not go into it just on principle. I was like, no, they're doing the whole hipster trendy green thing and whatever. And it's actually not that bad. And plus, the old Hannaford that's been there since like 1970 that I grew up with, you know, and I knew where everything was because they never changed the spots for anything. So it was a bit of a transition, but I finally started shopping there. And they have some good stuff, you know, but as green as that store is, I've noticed still the fresh fruits and vegetables aren't all that fresh. And I think it's that whole supermarket thing, you know, shipping from all over the country and all over the world. And yeah.
See, I can deal with that because I go through produce so fast now that I'm on that weird diet. But when I go back, I'm probably going to end up having to go down to the farmer's market again because I don't really eat that much produce. But I don't know. Maybe I should so I won't get fat again. But
well, it's hard up here, too, because we only have the farmer's market in late spring and summer. That's it. You know, we have such a short window up in the Northeast. You don't really have it. The meats you do, but they don't do the farmer's market, obviously, in the wintertime because who wants to go stand out in, you know, 10-degree weather?
Yeah, right.
You know, but
ours only go on for a little, you know, a little further south. They only go on for a little longer than that. I'm lucky that I'm able to get the meat because there's nothing around here. I have to get it from upstate, and it's only because I managed to find one company that was willing to deliver down here to me.
Yeah, you have a good butcher in your area? You can't find a good local butcher in your area?
We have decent ones, but I actually, when I finally got a hold of some grass-fed meat and I compared the two, I just like the taste so much better.
Yeah.
And it really does look different. I know the taste difference, and I just, that I can get it, I would rather do it that way.
I'm fortunate because it's pretty easy to get that organic grass-fed meat around here. There's like, in a 10-mile radius of my house, there's I think three, you know, butchers and all that. And one of my best friends, he's been a butcher for, I don't know, 17 years. And, you know, he's got his own shop where he cuts up meat. He does a lot of it. He does a lot of it with just as he does it. And, you know, you shoot a deer or whatever, or turkey, you bring it to him and he'll cut it up. But it's easy to get that sort of meat up here. You're going to pay a little bit more. But, you know, you go to the supermarket and you get the cut of Angus, you know, whatever organic, super awesome beef, and you're going to pay like $20 a pound or whatever it is. And you just go to some of these local farmers and you can get some good grass-fed beef for half that, you know. So yep.
If I'm making Hamburger Helper, I'll get my meat at the supermarket. But if I'm like a cut of steak or something like that, no, I'm not even gonna go there. I'm actually gonna go find a butcher. Yep. But the butchers I have, they have you know, they have deer meat and stuff, which is weird out here in Vegas, but they have that stuff. But what they don't have is yak. So I mean, Nick, get on this. You need to start delivering.
Yeah, there's a market for it.
Yeah, I know. I've tried to tell him that too. He refuses to send it to me.
I want some deer meat. Farm. It's been too long. I haven't shot a deer in like 3 years.
Or venison jerky. Oh, I can get down on some venison.
Oh, yeah. My friend makes some awesome deer jerky. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I need some yak. I need some teri.
Yeah, teriyaki.
I don't know if you guys saw the post I put on Facebook. I think it was Friday night. There's a new Chinese restaurant that opened up in my town, and they have this thing on their menu called mysterious flavored chicken. There is no way that I am ordering that. I was just like, mysterious, nope, not flavored. Doing it. You need to think. You need to rebrand that whole thing. You need to think about this for a minute, because you know Chinese restaurants already have a sketchy reputation, and when you name it mysterious flavored chicken,
yeah, it's cat. It's pretty much. It's
cat. No, I don't want to eat kitties. I don't care how good they taste.
Yeah.
Well, we used to have one years and years ago. One of the most popular Chinese food restaurants in our town was literally like 5 feet away from the Humane Society and animal shelter. And well, you know what the rumors were abound for years and years. They actually got shut down for health violations, but
well, yeah. You know what they say in real estate, location, location, location.
So. Yeah. Kind of makes me wonder, all that yummy Chinese food. And no Chinese restaurant since has been able to replicate them. I mean, they were the best, and you know, I'm starting to wonder why.
Yeah, well, there was the numbers that got busted out here on Long Island. I remember when I first moved here, and I hadn't eaten any of them personally, but there was enough of them in a area that I was like, the chances of me actually coming across it, it probably has happened. I just gave up. I forget. I try not to think about it.
Yeah.
I love my kitties too, but.
So now at least now you know what kitten tastes like.
Yeah.
Tender.
Too soon.
Okay, too soon.
I prefer Cajun food anyway. I don't go to Chinese that often, so.
Look at that seafood. Yum.
Gator. Big fan of gator.
I had gator before. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And when we get back, we need to talk about Michael Dean making it. To be a libertarian Superman. Or Spider-Man, excuse me.
Spider-Man.
Libertarian Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Redemption.
Spider-Man. So have you guys seen Libertarian Spider-Man?
I'm crying over here looking at Libertarian Spider-Man.
Yeah, me too. Some of them are pretty funny.
I don't know if it's a self-loathing libertarian like me, or if it's kind of like a statist who just kind of wants to make fun of him. But either way, it's the funniest thing ever. It's a Facebook page called Libertarian Spider-Man, and it kind of is using the 60s Spider-Man type images and then kind of modifying them to be libertarian jokes. And of course, instead of being red and blue, he's yellow and it's supposed to purple, but I think it's supposed to be yellow and black. Yeah. But you know, and
one orange, but that's fine.
Yeah, whatever. But anyways, it's fantastic. It's hilarious. Some of the stuff they posted on there, but
there's one that he's got a kid in a web, and and Spider-Man is saying, "Ask if you're being detained, and I'll put you on YouTube." Love it. Yeah, some of these are, yeah.
But I think the real reason that Jim wanted to bring
phone.
Up. Oh, there
Fiend
he is.
Phone.
Yeah, I got droned for a second. Anyways.
Those damn drones.
So Michael Dean has made they made him a libertarian Spider-Man.
Yes.
And he's hanging out in front of a what appears to be somewhat of a BIPCOT flag, but it's a libertarian Spider-Man flag. And he's got the little oxygen, or what I call the Hillbilly Bane mask, on him. He's saying worms. Yeah. And he's saying worms. So congratulations. That's some pretty awesome redemption that he made that page. But yeah, I don't know. This is kind of like doing Poe's law. You can't tell whether or not it's a Poe or if it's, you know, someone.
Well, because there's so many just random ones. Like, I mean, there are a lot of libertarian things, but like, I'm just flipping through the list with like, there's the Ferris Bueller one that I just came to, where it's, you know, the end scene from Ferris Bueller where he's after the credits where he says, "You're still here, go home."
Yeah, they took a hiatus for a while, and I guess the demand was too much, and so whoever it was came back. Steve Miller had liked the page so much that he was like trying to figure out who it was and contacted him and said, "Like, this is amazing. Who are you? I must give you credit." And he said, "Not Peter Parker." So he's refusing to be named. Yeah.
Not Peter Parker. These really are great, though.
Yeah.
There's a really good one on here. It's Captain America's speech to Spider-Man, and it's actually from the Civil War comics. I just read this, and I would suggest everyone check that out. It's pretty cool. It really shows Captain America in a libertarian light.
Yeah.
Which will be totally blown to pieces once the new movie Civil War comes out. I'm not anxious for that at all, but...
Yeah. I don't know. I really haven't been following that.
I don't know. Marvel's the cinematic universe has done all right if you're even if you're a comic book fan, but I don't know. It still leaves some lacking too. But I guess that's the nature of the beast, you know. You can't incorporate the two worlds and have everyone happy.
I like this one. I'm sure you're familiar with the two button, you know, where you're faced with two buttons and it shows him sweating, and he's choosing fiat currency is bad, or should he push the button that says support Bitcoin? And he's sitting there sweating.
So there's a couple of different ones. There's the Libertarian Spider-Man and Libertarian Spider-Man.
Yeah, this is just Libertarian Spider-Man. This is the original.
Yeah,
the one that made me find it was someone had reposted this, and it was a guy using a urinal, and there's like a long line of urinals.
Yeah,
and you see Libertarian Spider-Man walk right up to the one next to him, and he says, "Jet fuel can't milk steam." It's beautiful. Oh, Green Goblin, who will build the roads?
I don't know if you guys are video game fans, but one of my friends posted an image from the original Final Fantasy VII and Sephiroth and Cloud, and he says, "Whoa, who will build the roads?"
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I actually just replayed that recently. I found I could buy it on my PlayStation 3 for $10.
I installed it on my PC. They have a remixed version of Final Fantasy VII. It's amazing.
I'd like to check that.
It's all
much anymore, but that's still the greatest game in the world to make. That was my favorite game.
Yeah, me too. And it's all redone by fans. Totally independent.
Wow.
Free market.
Check that out.
Amazing, yeah.
Hey, water filters?
I like water filters.
Bitcoin milk steel beams.
I bet it does.
Worms.
Worms.